Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Psalm 42 and verse 5. Let's read together. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. We're sharing on overcoming depression. Overcoming depression. This month we've been running a series on health and healing. This verse of scripture means a lot to me. When I was much younger, I would experience bouts of moodiness. I would just slip into this state where I was sad. I was gloomy, you know. And it took a while. It was after I became a Christian that I now developed the capacity to track what was wrong. Because I couldn't explain it myself. But eventually, I got to realize that those thoughts or feelings were triggered by some specific thoughts or occurrences. Well, generally, I realize now, they should not have produced such sad feelings, gloominess, but it happened anyway. And one of the things for which I'm really, really grateful that I become a Christian is this issue. Christ gave me victory over moodiness. Amen. So this psalm means a lot to me. It helped me to switch on the power of self-awareness that God has given us human beings. It's a gift. And only man has it. Only human beings have this capacity through the use of our imagination. Man is the only being God created that can come out of himself to look at his life. Because when you read this verse, the person that wrote the psalm is speaking to his soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. He was preaching to his soul. That's powerful. Because he realized that at the core of his being was someone that transcended his emotions, transcended his thoughts, so he could speak to his soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Put your hope in God. He said, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I'm coming out of this. Wake up. Okay, catch up with me. Depression is becoming a big problem. Depression is becoming a big problem globally right now. The World Health Organization says there are 350 million people with depression in our world. Now, 350 million is 5% of the world population. 5%. 5% is one out of every 20 people experiencing depression in our world right now. So they say that depression is one of the leading causes of disability. That when it strikes, it renders people incapable of carrying out the things they would normally do to be productive. Keeps people away from their jobs. It's affecting relationships. Candidly, it breaks my heart when I hear that someone committed suicide. Or someone experienced suicide. I don't want to use the word committed. Because in most of the world, suicide is a criminal offense. So when we use the word commit, that's what it suggests. Because the person committed an offense. But when we really look at it, would a normal person want to commit suicide? We need to check the processes that lead a person to that point where they want to take their lives, where they want to terminate their lives. It's a process. They go through something. See, we need to attend to this thing the way we attend to other sicknesses and diseases. How come we don't say someone committed malaria and consider it an offense? Because we have not been familiar with emotional sicknesses and diseases. When I hear that a young person, especially a teenager, committed suicide now, that really, really breaks my heart. Because to commit suicide or to decide to take one's life, it means that the person has gotten to the end. The end of their thinking processes, the end of their emotions, they're in a state of hopelessness. They cannot see beyond this moment anymore. Why should a teenager experience that? If you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years old, you know after every dark cloud, the sun will still shine. After sunset, there will be sunrise. If you go through the valley, you will eventually climb the mountain. Things will eventually change. So for me, it's a monumental loss of potential for a teenager to take his or her life. What we have to acknowledge is the fact that young people also battle with depression. They also battle with emotional issues. And medical scientists tell us that women are likely to be more diagnosed with depression than men. So there's a need for us to pay attention to our emotional health. The symptoms of major depression, or maybe I should define major depression first. Major depression is a feeling of severe despondency and rejection. Severe despondency and rejection. It comes with overwhelming sadness, a feeling of hopelessness and emptiness that is sustained for weeks or months. The average person experiences mild depression. That's normal, because you will hardly ever find someone who is permanently on a high. The average person experiences mild depression because life happens. Simple. Somebody experiences the loss of a loved one. You don't expect the person to be jumping up and dancing. Somebody's just been handed a sack letter from the job. You don't expect the person to be dancing. Expect the person has a revelation. Okay? So life happens. So it's mild because it's temporary. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul the Apostle says we should not grieve. As Christians, we shouldn't grieve about the loss of loved ones the way people that are not Christians do. So we should grieve because we're human, but it should be short. That's the point. That because we can exercise control over our thoughts and our emotions, we can make it short and move on. The problem with major depression, which is the one we're discussing today, is that people get locked in those negative emotions and moods for more than 2 weeks. Once it's now a matter of weeks and somebody has become helpless and can't, you know, they can't help themselves anymore, and it's weeks, and for some people it's months, it needs to be treated. It needs to be attended to. Anyway, I look at this whole thing in a lot of scriptures, and I see that it was predicted when Jesus was speaking about what would happen at the end of the age. You know, he said something in passing, but which I always remember when I think about the emotional problems we have in our world today. In Luke 21:26, he said, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So Jesus was saying, from the things that will happen, he had spoken of wars, he had spoken of earthquakes, he had spoken of different things like that. And he said, you know what's going to happen during that time? Men's hearts will be failing them for fear. The symptoms of major depression include extreme anxiety and restlessness, loss of interest in activities that brought pleasure before. This is important. There's anxiety to the extreme, restlessness, and then now loss of interest. Sometimes loss of interest in life, loss of interest in everything. Just don't derive joy from anything anymore. If we're not sensitive to the fact to what such a person is dealing with, we tend to want to become critical or to even get angry with them. And candidly, we don't realize something is going wrong somewhere that even the person cannot deal with. Okay? So, we have extreme irritability and anger over minor issues. Please pay attention to the word extreme, because that's what I use here. These emotions we experience to one degree or the other in the normal course of a day or week, but this one is sustained, and these ones are taken to the extreme. So extreme irritability and anger over minor issues. When I read that, what comes to my mind is this Yoruba saying, Kilagbe Kileju. What did we take? What did you throw? Okay, to help you to understand it better. Somebody said, that saying started from an experience that somebody had here in Lagos. A thief went to somebody's house to steal something. The house owner woke up in the middle of the night and walked up to the balcony, okay, and saw the robber down there. The robber didn't know the house owner was awake. So the house owner was looking for what to use. So he saw this disused car battery. So he picked it and threw it at the robber. Gratefully for the robber, the battery missed him. But when he heard the sound with a thud, beep, he looked up and said, what did I carry? What did you throw? The punishment is not commensurate to my offense, please. What is it? Okay. So sometimes somebody reacts like that or flares up and you're wondering. But rather than get angry, especially if this is sustained, remember, 2 weeks or more, we need to pay attention. Fixation on the negative past. Fixation for someone to continue to recall something that happened in the past, to not only recall the event, but to recall the pain, to feel the pain in the present, and to be so locked into it, to be unable to come out, something is going wrong. Fixation on the negative past, thoughts of death or suicide, sleeplessness, extreme fatigue, tiredness, loss of energy without doing anything. Extreme fatigue. It can happen once in a while, but this one is just dire, continuously. Extreme weight gain or loss. Aches and pains that have no physical cause. Aches and pains. I'm telling you, it's the person that is experiencing it that knows it. It is possible for one to experience pain in the physical body that has no physical cause. I remember, in my early 20s, one of my friends was having pain like that. Went to the doctor. What the doctor told him was his problem so alarmed him, he came back to tell us, his friends, and we were alarmed for him. Because the doctor tested him all through and there was nothing wrong with him physiologically. So the doctor told him, because he was saying the doctor should please just give him some medicine, just give me some tablets that I can use. And the doctor said, the tablet won't solve your problem. He said, because your illness is psychosomatic. Now, we had never heard that word before us at that time. So when he told us his illness was psychosomatic, we felt that he really had a serious problem. Okay? But it's psychosomatic simply because its origin is not physical. It's in the mind and in the emotions. What are the causes of depression? I'll tell you that to a large extent, depression is something that confuses even medical scientists because they find it difficult sometimes to trace the cause. But generally, it is caused by mental or physical occurrences that take the emotions to the extreme. That's my conclusion, just looking at the various possibilities and the risk factors. Mental or physical occurrences that take the emotions to the extreme. Let me give some examples of those. Low self-esteem is the first thing. Low self-esteem. When a human being feels inferior, feels that they have low value, when they compare themselves to other people and feel they're inferior, it's a big problem. It's got to be dealt with because the human being was not designed to function like that. God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion. So I tell people, no image, no dominion. You will never function beyond the capacity of the picture of that person that you hold of yourself on the inside. Very important. What God wants to do is to help your consciousness of who you think you are. That's the essence of salvation, the salvation experience. That's why your identity is redefined in Christ. The temptation of the first man and first woman, Adam and Eve, was about their consciousness about who they were. The temptation of Christ was about his consciousness about who he was. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. He said, I and my Father are one. You can't have a better self-esteem than that. I'm in the same class with God. If any man be in Christ is a new creature, all things have passed away. God's got to heal that before he heals other parts of our lives. Low self-esteem takes people's emotions down. Physical or sexual abuse. Physical or sexual violence or abuse takes people's emotions to the extreme. Alcohol or drug abuse. Alcohol or drug abuse. Chronic diseases. Some people experience extreme pain. It takes the emotions to the extreme. And this one stands on his own. Childbirth. Childbirth falls into the category of one of those experiences, natural childbirth, that can push a woman's emotions to the extreme. And candidly, a few women deliver a child and go into depression. Listen, every man should be allowed into the labor room and their wives are delivering. They should be allowed into, I hope the hospitals in Nigeria have repented, because when our first two children were born, they didn't allow guys in the labor ward. But gratefully, I was able to witness the last one. And you had gadgets attached to Pastor Nike's body, and the gadgets would read as the pain, the contractions came and the pain increased. You could read as the thing was going up. I was scared. Then I remembered one of my friends told me his experience, how he was in the room like that for their first child. And he said at a point, he just burst into tears. It was too much for him to take. He said he wept uncontrollably. Yes, gratefully, his wife delivered the baby, but he couldn't stop himself. So the woman that delivered the baby was the one that was now consoling. When he told me his story, I said, no wonder they said guys should stay outside. Because you don't want to have another patient to attend to the labor ward. Sometimes depression happens just simply because of malfunctions of chemicals in the brain. That's the reality. Just malfunction of chemicals in the brain, just like it happens with the physical body too. And sometimes, like we know, it's the result of demonic interference. Because sometimes you have familiar spirits hanging around a specific family and reproducing the same result in each generation. Same challenge. But usually, it's when we've kept the emotion too in those such an extreme state for long that the room is created for the interference in the first place. Taking steps to victory, just in case someone is having such an experience, taking steps to victory. Number one, remember that others have overcome this challenge and you will. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Some people have had the challenge. They have secured victory. You will secure your own. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Sincerely, when you read the Bible, you will see powerful people that experience depression. Just like physical illness. Just like physical illness. Rich people get sick. Poor people get sick. Old people get sick. Young people get sick. That's the way it is also with depression. You remember Moses? Numbers chapter 11. Moses prayed one of the most fascinating prayer points in the Bible. Lord, if it is true that you love me and I have found favor in your sight, kill me now. Wow. Prove that you love me by killing me. Obviously, he was sad, suffering burnout. He was just worn out. And God came and said, you don't need to die. Just pick 70 people. I'll take the spirit on you, put it on them, so they will help you to do the job. Don't kill yourself. You remember Elijah? The powerful Elijah? Prophet that called down fire from heaven. Yeah, somewhere along the line, he went to sit under a shrub. Lord, let me die. Let me die. There is sin everywhere. Everywhere is scattered. Everything is going down. There's so much immorality. Everything. Nobody is serving you. I'm the only one left that is serving you. You're the one that will kill yourself. There are 7,000 people that have not bowed to bow. It distorts your perception. Once this thing kicks in, distorts our perception of life. Winston Churchill dealt with it. Abraham Lincoln dealt with it. The good news for us is we're winning over it. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit for help. He is the ultimate helper, third person of the Trinity. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 3. Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. Ah, there's a place for us. Amen. Amen. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Every form of mourning and heaviness goes here today in the name of Jesus Christ. He said that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. When the Holy Spirit steps in, he turns your desert into a fruitful field. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He turns your obstacles into miracles. Turns your tests into testimonies. In Jesus' name, someone receives healing now. Number three, listen to clean, inspiring music. Listen to clean, inspiring music. Music is inspirational. Very important. It will put you on the frequency where God can speak to you, where you can hear from God. And you need to. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, something interesting happened. The Bible records there that the Spirit of God left Saul and an evil spirit began to torment him. Let me read it in the New Living Translation. 1 Samuel 16:14, New Living Translation. Now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. This is the king of a country. There is a problem in the palace. Message Bible reads this way. At that very moment, the Spirit of God left Saul, and in its place, a black mood sent by God settled on him. He was terrified. Fear. When you get home, read the story. The next verse, the people around him said, "Sir, let us get a young man that is very skillful on the harp, so that when he plays, you may be refreshed." That's how David got to the palace. And truly, when he played, Saul calmed down. Music is important. Job 32:8, there's a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. If healing will seep into your soul, you have to open up to clean music. Amen. That's why I value the entertainment industry. It may look like they're not serious, but they're doing an important job. Inspiration is important to us being able to function well. And that's why church is also important. And that's why I value pastors too. Some people are beginning to talk like we don't add any value. We're just out to collect people's money. And they don't realize that if they will be honest, they will admit there are loads of people in our country that will have gone crazy, but for the fact that they could come to church, sing, dance, express themselves, enjoy God's presence. Number four, listen continually to the word of God. Well, let me explain. That 1 Samuel 16, if you read, an evil spirit from the Lord began to trouble him, please understand it clearly. Okay, you have to understand, when you read scriptures, understand the context within which it was written. It's when you understand it within that context that you can extrapolate the principle and bring it and apply it to your own contemporary setting. So it was just a manner of speaking. That's how they used to speak that day. And if you come from a culture like ours in our part of the world, that should not be strange to you. A culture where some people believe that everything that happens, whether positive or negative, is from God. Yeah? In our local language here, Amuwa alone, it is something that comes from God. The person just had an accident. In Hausa language, they say, Alayayada, God allowed it to be like that. Yes. And there are some of us, maybe you've experienced this before. You are in a commercial vehicle or you're in your vehicle, you're going, and there's somebody else that is driving in a crazy way, you know, overtaking in a crazy way, and then further down the line, you get to see the person has had an accident. The car has somersaulted. And somebody says, God, catch him. In Pidgin English, God, catch him. You know what? Leave the God of the Bible out of all those scenarios. He doesn't catch people like that. Yes. He doesn't catch people like that. The Spirit of God left him. That's what the verse said. Good. The Spirit of God left him. That created a vacuum. Satan filled it. The person that had an accident, the person was driving at a speed or in a way that made angels to leave the car. Satan took over from there. Leave God out of that kind of business. He's a loving father. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. Number four. Listen continually to the word of God. There is healing power in God's word. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Listen continually to God's word. Next, get treatment from professionals till your healing is confirmed. Get treatment from professionals till your healing is confirmed. When people have physical healing, they go see the doctor. When we have mind or emotional healing, sicknesses, we don't know where to go. When people have physical illnesses, they go to the doctor. When we have mental or emotional problems, we don't know where to go because we don't think that's the business of the doctor. Go to the doctor. There are people trained to address issues like that. I know there's someone thinking, no, a pastor should not say that. Speak faith. Did Jesus tell people to go and see doctors? Or did Jesus see a doctor? That's fine. Ask the doctors. They will tell you. They can't heal anybody. They only care. But mankind has done some research and seen how nature helps the healing process. That is what they apply. Just like the pilots too went to school because man did research and found out that there are laws of aerodynamics. You align with them. You can fly an aircraft. The way the pilot went to school to learn how to fly aircraft is the way the doctor went to school to learn how to care for people and aid them in the healing and recovery process. Your faith should not be in the doctor. Your faith should be in God. Just like when you fly in the aircraft, your faith should not be in the pilot, because pilots also make mistakes. Once the pilot carries you, puts you in the air like that, you put your trust in God that you will land safely on the other side. If you have problems with technology, you believe it is contrary to faith, that's fine. So please, don't go to the doctor. And the next time you are going to London, also don't go to the airport to fly an aircraft. Trek. Jesus didn't enter aircraft. He was walking about. You too. Walk to London. Number six, establish safeguards for your thoughts and emotions. Now, you have to identify what it is that triggers the problem. What was this you were, if there was anything you were doing excessively, it's time to stop it, and you need accountability partners to hold you up to the new standards that you have set for yourself. If there's music you shouldn't listen to, don't listen to it. If there's video you shouldn't watch, don't watch them anymore. If there are places you shouldn't go, don't go to those places anymore. Number seven, let God use you to help other people. When your healing is complete, now let God use you. You know what it's like. Let God use you now to help other people. How to care for someone with depression. How to care for someone with depression. Because when people can't help themselves anymore, it's the people around them that are supposed to help them. We should not care for someone with depression any less than we care for someone with a physical illness. When somebody close by is in pain or has physical illness, we rush to their aid. We care for them. The ones that have emotional illness, what do with them? We criticize them. Because now they're beginning to irritate us or give us some pressure. We need to care for them as well. We need to care for them the way Jesus illustrated that the Samaritan cared for the man that was attacked by robbers. In Luke chapter 10, you read from verse 29. Because the man stopped, paid attention, carried the man, put him on his donkey, took him to an inn. They applied oil on his wound to help his healing process. And the man put down some money for his care. We need to care for people. So, we should pray for them. That's the first thing a Christian will do anyway. Am I right? Pray for the person that is going through pain. Mark 16:18, and these signs from verse 17, and these signs shall follow those who believe. And in verse 18, it says, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. James 5:13, is any sick among you, let him pray. In verse 14, it says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, amen, will save the sick. So, let's pray for them. Next, don't blame the person. Don't blame the person. You don't blame someone for falling sick. Next, we should validate their feelings. What they are feeling is what they are feeling. It's real to them. We should validate their feelings. Next, we should encourage them to continue with their medication, if they have any. Usually, the medication can be really, really strong. So, we need to encourage them. We need to nurture them back to health. I am trusting God. If there is anyone in this service, who is a part of this service, whose experience or who's experiencing what we're talking about today marks the termination of depression in the name of Jesus Christ. Will you bow your head with me and pray a minute? If there's anybody in this service, just pray that the healing power of God will touch them. Anyone experiencing depression in this service, And perhaps, maybe somebody is in this service that knows someone somewhere. The person is not here, but the person somewhere is experiencing the religious prayer. Let's ask that the power that raised Christ from death should touch them now. Touch their emotions, touch their minds, touch their thoughts, touch their capacity to think in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's ask for God's healing power right now. God's healing power right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If it is chemicals that have become imbalanced, hormones that have become imbalanced, in the name of Jesus Christ, we prophesy the healing of those glands that supply those hormones. In the name of Jesus. Prophesy the healing of the brain, the healing of the nervous system. Every form of malfunctioning is terminated. We receive the healing power of God. Thank you, Lord. Pray for anyone that has physical illness in this service right now. Anyone feeling pain or sickness anywhere right now. Someone has insomnia, sleeplessness. Let the power of God come on the person right now. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we agree in faith that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him. We declare right here and now, Jesus took our sins on the cross. He also took the consequences of sin. We command every spirit of disease, go in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of torment, spirit of fear, doubt, hopelessness, go in the name of Jesus Christ. We release the healing power of God on everyone from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. Whatever was malfunctioning begins to function perfectly now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the person who says, my relationship with God is not okay. It is sin that gives opportunity to Satan to invade our lives and to affect our lives. And God so loved us, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus paid the ultimate price for our sins. He died on the cross. And God just wants us to ask for forgiveness. That's all. He forgives us. His peace comes into our hearts. He removes the nature of sin from us, puts his own nature there. I want to pray for that honest person who says, Pastor, my relationship with God is not okay. I'm a sinner. I want God to forgive me now. Can you please put your hand on your heart? Every human being was born a sinner, but someday you hear the truth. And Jesus said the truth will make you free. Perhaps, maybe you've even said the prayer before, but you, with the state of your relationship now, you know, God forbid you die today, appear before God, you are not sure you will make heaven. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart as we pray? It will be done in about 1 minute. It's a short but life-changing prayer. It's a sign of surrender to God as you stand by your seat. God bless you. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing me. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for our brothers and sisters. For everyone that said this prayer. Because we know you love them. And as they have prayed, we know you've forgiven them. We know the power of sin is broken over their lives. We know the nature of sin has been removed from them now by the Holy Spirit. And your own nature is in them now. Heavenly Father, teach them to know you better. Teach them to love you more and to serve you the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.